This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
The new beginnings.
And now, hello. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gratham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
What's up, guys? Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansbury. It's a podcast. I'm here at Charter House. What's up, Mark Charter?
Just thinking about how this week we're not going to do any Seinfeld trivia.
No, that did not go over well last week.
You can't win them all, fellas.
And I don't know if
we got a few comments from people that said that sucked.
Actually, on the podcast, being a participant, fell asleep as you and Chris were talking about it. So I don't blame a lot of people for not being fans of it.
What's most important, actually, is that Chris and I had fun doing it.
That, yeah.
So, yeah, if this sounds weird if you're listening, it sounds echoey to me, but hey, it is what it is.
It sounds echoey to me, too. Jared, are we okay on this?
Yeah, I mean...
Does it, sound good?
It doesn't sound any different to me than it ever does when I record with this app.
Okay. We are getting you the same app that Chris has, so in the future, all of our podcasts will sound exactly alike.
Currently downloading, yes. 41%.
Okay. So Chris Williams is not here, obviously.
No, he's not.
I need to, by the way, before I made some promises, so I got to give a shout out to a big fan of the podcast.
Yeah.
His name's Clint Olson, client of mine, lives in Florida.
Yeah.
He literally said it's him and his fiance and they don't know anyone else and the podcast comforts him. So he says he likes us. And he's a client, and I'm selling his house, and I told him I'd give him a shout-out. So, hey, Clint.
What's up, Clint?
Here's your shout-out, man.
You sold his house here, and he's moving to Florida?
Already lives in Florida.
Already lives.
I'm actually selling two houses for him.
Wow.
He had a couple rental properties. One's under contract, and the other one we're working on. So.
Whereabouts in Florida?
I don't know where he is, actually. I don't know.
You got to ask these questions, man.
Don't want to be too personal, you know?
You're selling two houses of him. I think you can ask these questions.
I'm sure he'll hear this and then email me the answer on where he is in Florida.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Sarasota.
Sarasota? Okay. So after he sells these two, he's going to have a rental property down there that he's going to let Fawcast members go and stay at.
Well, we already know that when it comes to the Fawcast, you get all the perks. He'll invite you.
You need to get over
and not
this.
Me. Oh, you're such a jerk. So, anyway.
How are things going at Charter House? You know, you guys are here in your new location. Your team is building. Things going market good?
Things are going phenomenally well. Yeah, we were looked at the numbers the other day. I think seventh highest selling in Des Moines so far this year. And that's not by firm. That's by agent. And that's technically me and my lovely buyer's agents that work here. But things are going well. In fact, we're hiring. So if anyone out there wants to come be a part of this team and make, I don't know what they're going to make, 40K, 35, 40K. We'll figure that part out. But we need a transaction coordinator / office manager so they get to come hang out with me all day and have fun. So, yeah, if you're out there and you hate your job and you're extremely well organized, get a hold of me.
I'm not going to lie. That sounds awful.
We're going to be doing interviews soon.
I mean,
there are a few people out there that like me. You're not one of them. But
I mean, you're good for like an hour a week during the podcast.
That's about all I can handle.
Any more and that gets rough.
Yeah.
So I was actually happy that you locked yourself in your room in Vegas so I didn't have to see you for a full weekend.
By the way, I just told you what the job might pay, and I saw Jared's eyes light up. I was like, holy crap, man. I might have to apply for this job. We'll see. Poor intern. Well, no, he's not.
He's not an intern.
He's just a poorly paid individual. But hey, come on, you know, you got to start somewhere. There's a little NBA action tonight.
There is
happening. I was happy, by the way, with Game 7. I might have placed a little tiny wager on that game, and came through. So I'm excited. I predicted 2 weeks ago that I thought this would be the finals, and I said most exciting finals ever. I think, in my opinion, as far as entertainment perspective, I think we're going to see that. You know, here, let me ask you if you guys are surprised by this. By the way, the Cavs have been launching threes nonstop in the playoffs. They've got J.R. Smith, one of the best in the league. They've got Kevin Love, who can shoot it. Kyrie Irving's playing great. You've got LeBron. You got all that, right? And then you've got the two best three-point shooters in the game, in my opinion, on the other side. That, to me, equals points, 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 points. So far in the playoffs, the Warriors have not scored 100 points twice, and both times they're in the 90s. And twice in the playoffs, the Cavs haven't scored 100 points, and they were both in the 90s.
Yeah.
So for the most part, these teams score 100 or more. The over-under for tonight's game is 209.5. Does that surprise you based on that? Where is that coming from, that line?
First game, you get a little bit of jitters. Mm-hmm. NBA Finals, teams are typically a little bit more locked in defensively because there's so much on the line. And if I remember correctly, and obviously Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love are not very good defenders, so this might actually help the over.
Yeah.
But didn't Golden State struggle for a majority of the series to score on the Cavs last year? Didn't the Cavs have them locked down pretty good?
Yeah, but I mean, the Cavs are one of the worst defensive teams in the playoffs.
I'm sure they probably are.
I think they were like 15th out of the 16 teams in pick and roll defense.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Obviously, when you're facing the Warriors, being bad at pick and roll defense is not good.
I think that, I mean, both teams are going to launch threes like crazy.
Yeah.
And if they're hitting at a decent rate, that game goes over. I mean, you're hitting 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. That adds up quick.
So you're already stuck on you're taking the over. I can tell.
If I was forced to make a wager on tonight's game, I mean,
no one's forcing you.
I said, it seems improbable that at least one of the teams isn't going over 100. And I say it's likely that both teams are going over 100. So there's your 200 right there.
Yeah.
So you need, what, four more baskets basically beyond that? I mean, it seems low to me. This seems like a game that could go 220, 230 fairly easily if they're shooting well. So I was surprised to see it. I was expecting like 217, 219, something like that.
In the line, I believe Golden State's fair by six.
Six was the last I saw.
Was that surprising to you, or does that seem fair?
I would expect it a little lower. Actually, I was thinking three or four.
It's at Golden State, yeah. Didn't Golden State just mop up on them this year, the Cavs?
They
beat the hell out of them.
I actually think this is going to be really interesting from the Cavs' perspective, because Kevin Love is so atrocious. I mean, he's bad defensively. Can't stop anybody. So if you try and match him up position to position with Draymond Green, I mean, that's a lose every single time. It's going to be hard to keep him on the floor.
You say this like Draymond's some freakishly skilled scorer.
At the same time, but Kevin Love can't stop anyone, man.
This is what I would do. That pick and roll, I'd make it a pick and pop. Draymond, shoot it, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Beat me shooting the three. I will sit here. I will sag off. We'll have the screen guy go over the screen, not under, so Curry can't do it. Make Curry go to the hoop. And Draymond will have pick and pop all day and make him beat
you. What do the Cavs do when the Warriors are going to clearly try to get it so there is a switch and they're stuck with Love on Curry or on Clay? Because I think that's what they're going to try to do, is get them to switch so they have that mismatch. And if they do that, it's going to be trouble. So the Cavs, knowing that, can't allow that switch to happen.
Yeah, they probably won't switch quite as much as you saw the Thunder do. And you saw Thunder, Enes Kanter played a lot less minutes than he had in the Spurs series because he was getting killed every time they switched. It was attack Kanter. Kanter's in it, we're going right at him because he can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
Well, and if Kevin Love's not hitting threes, you know, it's kind of hard to justify keeping him on the floor sometimes.
Isn't that weird that a guy that once averaged 28 points a game and 14 rebounds, we're sitting here saying, oh, man, he might be a huge liability in the NBA Finals?
Fat Kevin Love was better.
I've never
like what you said, Fat George Niang was better too. You can tell me that.
Just like pudgy Kevin Love back when he was in college in his first couple of years with the Wolves.
I've never understood the draw to Kevin Love. He had good numbers, but
he was a stud.
His teams were so bad.
They were bad, but he still. I mean, his numbers were still pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
like people talk about the big three, for the Cavs. In my opinion, you take Kevin Love out of that and you put J.R. Smith in.
That's crazy.
It's not crazy.
I don't know about that.
J.R. Smith, when he shoots threes, J.R.
Smith's crazy.
Well, he is, but he's also an unbelievable shooter.
Yeah.
I mean,
when he's on,
you're more likely.
I bet you, what do you think his percentage threes is compared to Kevin Love's?
For the year?
Yeah. Like, who do you think? I mean, like, give me a percentage that you think Kevin Love shoots and then that you think J.R. Smith shoots.
Well, it would depend on how many they took, too. I mean, that plays a role for sure. But I would think Kevin Love is probably around 30 and J.R. Smith is around 35.
36% for Kevin Love.
Better than I thought.
Yep. And I'll get J.R. Smith up here in a second.
Show me those attempts, though, too. How many attempts
I bet
they
you
have?
Kevin Love's taking more.
No.
No way, dude.
No.
I can't imagine.
No.
He takes a lot, man.
No. J.R. Smith, that's all he does.
Where he shoots like 15.
That's all he does is shoot threes.
Okay, so in 77 games, J.R. Smith took 510 threes, shot 40%. So 4% better.
Yep.
40% at that quip. And Kevin Love... 439, so he shot, 70 less threes.
So
roughly one less a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Prediction time then. What's happening in this series?
I think Golden State's going to win. And this, I know you always make fun of me for the blow it up thing, but I seriously think in this situation, if the Cavs don't win, I seriously could believe that Kyrie and Kevin Love are both gone. I'm dead serious. I'm thinking, I seriously believe that.
Well, doesn't that also mean LeBron?
No, LeBron will be back, but they'll get other guys.
Based on what?
They could try and get Chris Paul.
So do you think that LeBron's has a mentality of, I want to stay here until we win a championship for the whole hometown Cleveland thing?
Right, and he's just going to try and get a better roster, a different kind of roster.
A better roster.
A different kind of roster.
I mean, but think about how that sounds. The roster they have now is pretty darn good.
I've never in my life seen a player, a LeBron James caliber, phenomenal player, we all agree, one of the all-time greats, get made more excuses for saying, oh, he just needs more help than LeBron James. It's remarkable.
I'm not saying that.
No, I'm not saying you, but yeah. I was watching SportsCenter yesterday, which is probably my problem for watching SportsCenter anymore because it's total junk.
Stupid.
And they're basically like, the Warriors are going to have their three guys, and LeBron just needs somebody to step up and help him out. I'm like, someone to step up and help him out? Kyrie Irving's a top 5-point guard. Love is a stud. I mean, what are we talking? He doesn't have scrubs on his team. He's got a great roster. I don't understand. They're already making excuses for LeBron. If these guys don't step up, if they don't win, it's because
argue if you head-to-head the Cavs versus the Warriors roster, you could argue that they're at least equal. Because you take out starting lineup, Harrison Barnes for the Warriors. Now, God bless him, he's from Ames and went to my high school. He's not a super stud.
He's strong. No. He's struggling.
I mean, he's a decent player. Draymond Green... good player, no question about it.
Overrated.
But then you talk about, like, all right, so who are the big men in this game? You got Tristan Thompson for the Cavs. Mm-hmm. Who cares? But Andrew Bogut, I mean, he's not wowing anybody. I mean, it's a pretty equal roster,
in
my opinion.
I think the Warriors probably have a better bench is where...
And I think the thing, if you look at that on paper and you see that the Cavs roster is so good, and I'm just saying based on the... pattern of what LeBron has done in the past and the way he's like acted towards his teammates this year, I just see a situation where he's like, oh, Chris Paul's my buddy.
Yeah.
They're best friends. One of LeBron's best friends in the league. Bring him in. Get rid of Kyrie. He was beefing with Kyrie earlier in the year. Kevin Love. He always is in LeBron's spot.
Yep.
Get rid of him. Get some shooters. I'm just saying it could happen.
They traded away Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Who you put Andrew Wiggins on the side running down in defense with LeBron James. I don't think Wiggins is a star by any means.
Wiggins.
But he would be awesome next to LeBron James.
So here's a good question for you guys that came up today on, I think it was Dan Patrick. Would you rather be 2-0 in NBA Finals or 2-4 in NBA Finals, given those two choices?
2-4, for sure.
2-4, for sure.
You'd rather go the six times and be a four-time loser.
That's the dumbest thing. So, like... If, and I'm not a LeBron James guy at all, I'm a Kobe guy, but if, let's say LeBron ends up winning six titles, for the next 4 years they win it straight, and his record is 6-4 in the finals, people are still going to make the idiotic thing, well, Michael went, it was 6-0, never lost in the finals.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that means he lost more in the semis than LeBron ever did. Mm-hmm. So it's a dumb argument.
Well, Kobe lost in the finals a couple times too, and I think...
Twice, yeah.
Yeah, people... Not many people remember that sometimes.
So I do, unfortunately.
Jared said, Warriors. How many games will it take?
Seven.
What do you say?
I want the Warriors. I think the Cavs win. I think LeBron. I think LeBron puts too much pressure on. If here's the thing, LeBron, there's two kinds of LeBron James, and this is why I've never been as big of a LeBron guy as Kobe or MJ. There's times where he disappears late in a kind of a close game. We saw it in I think it was Game 4 of Toronto, where he didn't shoot the ball the last 4 minutes of the game. It was like a tie game. He just stopped shooting the ball.
Inexcusable.
You just can't do that.
Yeah.
So that worries me a little bit. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he is the best player in the NBA, even better than Curry. And they have enough other talent, and they're rested. I think the rested makes a big difference to where I think they can wear him out.
So the only way that happens –
six games.
The only way that happens is the Cavs win at Golden State. They have to win there. That's the problem. I don't know if that, you know, the Warriors can stink it up in Cleveland. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So can they steal one at Golden State? And I just get a feeling that they won't.
Yeah.
So I could see it going seven games. Yeah. You know, home teams hold their home court and it goes seven games, which would be great for basketball.
I hope the Warriors win. I'd like to see them win.
I think
they're easier to cheer for me.
I think this is a finals that is as hard to pick either way as any as we've had in quite some time. And like Charter said, I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun after watching that Western Conference Finals and just seeing how much fun that was. If the Cavs can shoot the way they shot against the Hawks, man, it's going to be a fun brand of basketball.
Were either of you bummed or disappointed to see the Thunder not win that series?
No.
I'm
not a Russell Westbrook fan. I don't like his face. I'll be honest with you.
I get that. I can see that.
He's totally got the face from Step Brothers, where he says, "There's just something about your face that makes me want to punch it."
Yep. I see that.
Will Ferrell says, "Was there anything I can do to change it?" It's like, "Nope. It's just your face."
I always like to see different matchups. So, you know, last year, granted, we didn't see it with Irving or Love, but we saw the Cavs versus the Warriors. I wanted to see the Thunder. Plus, I wanted Durant and Westbrook to finally be able to tell the critics just to shove it.
Yeah.
And they're already back out again. Oh, Durant knows he can't win at Thunder. He's got to leave. What do you mean he can't win at Thunder? It's the stupidest argument I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know, here, 6 years now, for the 6 years the Thunder have been in the NBA Western Conference Finals. This isn't the Eastern Conference, all right? This is the Western Conference.
Yeah.
They've been in it four of the last six times. 1 year, they won 60 games. Westbrook got hurt. He got hurt in the playoffs, couldn't finish. That killed him. Last year, Durant was hurt. They were 11 three-pointers from Klay Thompson away from winning that series in six games.
Yeah.
Roberson gets hurt. Thompson gets hot. They win the game. And, you know, Westbrook and Durant choked a little bit. But they were that close to being in the finals.
Thompson won it,
and now
for sure.
Now all of a sudden, and they're young, 27, 27, 24,
what
22.
What is their – I'm drawing a blank. What's their big man's name in the middle?
For Adams? He's a stud.
Was he a stud before these playoffs?
No, he was a good center.
I mean, he was a 60% free throw shooter, and he's making everything in the playoffs. So I was thinking as I'm watching this guy, he's making a lot of money. Wherever he is now, I mean, he had a really good series.
I mean, here's the thing. Steven Adams, no, he wasn't. I mean,
he looks like he's straight out of the movie Tombstone, by the way. He could, like, be in that. Just put a cowboy hat on him. He looked perfect for that role.
And he's 22 years old.
Is he really?
He's 22. That's the thing.
Are you serious?
Durant and Westbrook are 27. Roberson's like 22. That whole team is
Does Adams not look like he's 35? Yeah. I mean, he looks way older than
that.
Yeah,
he's 22. Yeah.
They need like one more perimeter player that can defend and knock down the three. Kind of a veteran guy. Maybe like a Nicholas Batum.
Yeah.
Someone like that. He's a free agent this year. They need to go get him. And then KD is going to sign one-year deal.
He probably will do the one-year deal. But he'll do that more, in my opinion.
And then him and Russ are going to leave together.
To go to my Lakers.
I don't know about that.
Your Lakers.
Enes Kanter.
Who are the Lakers going to draft?
They'll probably be stuck drafting Ingram.
Those guys just look old, man. I would never guess they were that young.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That team next year, you go into it, they're probably the favorites if everyone returns.
So
to the
is
team.
Durant there? That's the question.
If Durant comes back.
In your opinion, will he do
which
that?
Which he should. Why wouldn't he? What team would he go to that's going to be better than the Thunder?
You say why shouldn't he? Usually the answer is money.
But
it's as simple as that, right?
No, but he's getting a max deal anywhere he goes. And the money's not the issue.
Yeah. But there's
he actually can make more money in Oklahoma City than he can anywhere else.
Based on marketing, though?
No, because if you re-sign with your current team, you get more money.
Yeah, you get more.
And I'm not arguing that point, but the argument has always been L.A., New York, Chicago, whatever, many more endorsement opportunities.
I feel like he already
smaller
makes,
world now, man.
He makes so much money from Nike and stuff like that. At some point, as a basketball player,
how much
money do I need? All I want to do is win. All I want to do is play basketball. And I think there's a quote from him where he said,
something along the lines of, I'm going to the place where I can be surrounded with the best people and I can have the most fun playing
basketball. You would hope that players feel that way, but then I'm reminded of the comment that Arrieta made a few weeks back when talking about his next contract, which would be his last big contract that he's going to sign. Would he be willing to give the Cubs a hometown discount? And his answer was no. You know, you would hope a player would be like, yeah, I love it here. I want to stay here. I'm willing to give him $1 million or whatever. And his answer is no.
Do you think Arrieta would sign a massive contract if in the stipulation, hey, we'll give you the $300 million that you're asking for, but if and when you test positive for PEDs, we get out of this contract? Do you think he would sign it?
He's just not on PEDs, but man.
So he would sign it then because he's not on PEDs?
Probably.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm willing to make – we already have a Cy Young bet. I'm willing to make a side bet, a PED side bet on Arrieta that is not found guilty of PEDs anytime soon. You know, Clayton Kershaw, by the way, who's your bromance.
The best pitcher in baseball history.
Did you hear – were you listening to Dan Patrick yesterday when he was interviewed?
No, I wasn't.
It was a pretty good interview. He was Dan asked him where he was because the Dodgers are in Chicago right now, and he's not even pitching in this series. So I'm sure he's just taking a little mini vacay. And he was outside like a Waffle House, like him and his daughter and his wife were just out. So like the interview is Clayton Kershaw talking about the architectural boat tour he took the day before, talking about the history of Chicago and the Chicago Fire. And then Dan says, put your wife on. So then Dan's talking to his wife for a few minutes about like what Clayton was like in high school because they started dating when he was like a freshman in high school. She's like, he was kind of pudgy, actually.
He was.
Yeah. Fat little dude.
And now he's the best pitcher in baseball history.
See, that's a ridiculous statement to make. In this period of time...
Not educated enough.
Yeah. In this period of time, historically, you can make the argument that he has a stretch where he's been the best ever. You can make that argument.
Yeah.
But to see the best pitcher in baseball, like, ever, I mean, you're discounting all of the Bob Gibsons of the world and all of the, Ryans and all of those people that have pitched. It's like he hasn't done it long enough yet to say he's the best ever.
He's got the lowest career ERA since 1920.
Yeah, but the guy's got to do better in the playoffs, dude. I'm not even considering him at all until he proves he can win when he needs to.
Okay.
You know, you get these little...
Baseball's not like that, though, I don't think. Because you can only pitch every 4 or 5 days.
I know, but it's all about the ring. You know, in sports, at least it should be. You can be considered one of the greatest, but I don't think you can be considered the greatest if you've never won. Mm-hmm. Maybe greatest likes to disagree with me just for the sake of disagreement, but
I think in football and baseball, it's terribly overrated to say you can't be great unless you won a championship because there's so many players and so many other factors. Basketball, I think, yes. You can't be considered one of the greatest basketball players of all time unless you've won a title.
I think there are some guys that are
some of the best ever that didn't win titles.
Overall.
No one top 15. I don't think there's anyone in the top 15.
Well, no, nobody in the top 15.
20 even. Yeah.
I mean, where would you put Barkley? Players like that.
Top 50, not top 20.
You know, still, that's Carl one Malone,
the best
players
ever, if you think of all of the
Malone didn't win, right? With the Lakers, he never won one. So there's guys like that. But I think, in a nutshell, the point of sports, other than it's an entertainment product, but that aside, the point of sports is to win a title. That's the point.
Yeah.
And if you've never achieved that in your career, then you've fallen short. It's a simple argument. And is it their fault? No, maybe not. But you have to take that into consideration.
But I think everyone can agree that Dan Marino is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. But Tom Brady's played on a better team, and therefore.
Yeah, but what does the term "better" mean? It's like the argument of most valuable player. What does most valuable player mean? Does that mean best player? Or does that mean actually most valuable player? You know, would I rather have Tom Brady leading my team or Marino? Brady is the winner.
You put Marino on that team, they probably win 8 Super Bowls, maybe 9.
That's ridiculous. It's about wins, man.
9 Super Bowls.
Maybe 9. We'll see. I don't know.
It's about wins.
There's no way of knowing, but I feel pretty comfortable throwing that number out there.
Dan Marino was soft.
He just says that that one player can't swing the football, but then Dan Marino is the difference between how many they win, 5?
Well, in a franchise that cheats, and so they already have a leg up on everyone else, yeah, I mean, you throw an all-time great in there like Dan Marino, for sure.
Yeah, I think playing in Miami makes players soft.
Probably.
I really do, man. It's the weather. It's just the vibe down there. It's like the no cold games until they have to go play in Buffalo or something.
Did you guys hear about the Marlins are suing their season ticket holders?
Why?
Yeah, because
they won't show up.
Some guy tried to back out of his tickets, and then now they're trying to sue him. He was trying to say that they didn't follow through on like all the promises they made. They're
when they built their new stadium.
They sold him a bill of goods, like that they would be good.
Yeah.
And they're not, so he's pissed. So like, why would you even bother? Yeah, just let the guy out, you know? Like, to sue somebody is...
They're suing a whole bunch of people.
Like, a class action suit. The Marlins are taking all their season ticket holders to court. It's like, that'll work out well for them. That's exactly what you want to do when your fan base already hates you. Go ahead and do that. Miami doesn't deserve a team.
No.
For baseball. There's so many markets. There's a few out there that just need to... And it's the dumbest example ever, and I hate even saying it, but it's like, you take a team away from Miami and put them in Des Moines, you're going to sell tickets.
Yep.
I mean, it's like there's just certain places that get it because of the size of the city that have no appreciation for it whatsoever.
We would appreciate it.
None.
This is my suggestion. Take them and move them back to Montreal because the Laurias are the ones that pulled some shady stuff. I think
I heard
in Miami and then Montreal.
I've heard when they talk about expansion that Montreal actually gets brought up like as a place – But am I the only one that recalls watching, cause I'm a huge Cubs fan, watching my Cubs play in Montreal to 5,000 people? I mean, they weren't supporting the team. 94, when they were really good, the year of the strike, maybe they were. But I recall a lot of empty seats.
And they had Vladimir, one of the best hitters of all time.
The Expos had a lot of good players. Yeah. A lot of good players before they went on to do things with other teams. But I don't hope Montreal gets a team. I think that would be a horrible... Horrible. There's better cities before that.
Book suggestion for you guys, Up, Up, and Away by Jonah Carey. Very good.
What the hell is
that
about?
The story of the Expos.
A book?
It's very, very interesting.
When is it coming out on DVD?
It already is out. It's already out.
No, on DVD to watch. Let me know when I can watch
it. That's awful. You don't read books?
I struggle to read some of your guys' articles, and those are like 500 words sometimes.
Do you read books, Charter?
I have read a book.
A book? Wow.
Before. I used to be a huge reader growing up. Every night when I went to bed, I'd read books, whatever type. And then, you know, you get the kids and you like watching Jimmy Fallon. And it's just that's the one area of my life that I want to do better in because I have a lot of friends that are constantly posting about the books they've read. And frankly, a lot of them are business oriented, which is fine. And I think reading makes you smarter. So we all should read more. But to say I don't read, I don't like just, you never read. I read a lot of things. Yeah. You know, I read articles and I read whatever. So I'm reading. It's just not the book next to the night, you know, the bed that I'm picking up every night.
Nobody Googles and reads more than you.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys the curious type? Like if I told you something that you never heard of or were in, would you go look it up?
Probably.
I look up things. It drives me nuts. My wife, who will hear this and yell at me later, like I'll say something and. So, like, I have no idea what that is, and then that's it. That stops in her world. She's not going to go Google it. Like, if I hear a word I've never heard before or just something, like, oh, do you hear about that event? I look it up. I want to know more about it.
I do it right then if I'm in an argument with someone, too. I'll look it up, but I don't go look it up down the road. Like, I forget about it. So, I like to read back to your thing. I do like to read. I just haven't read in a long time. I can't remember the last time I sat and read a book. Probably 2 years.
I'm reading a book a week this summer.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
He'll be smarter for it. I read the last book I read was last night. It's called Brown Bear, Brown Bear, What Do You See? I read that almost every night. I see a red bird looking at me.
Oh, yeah. I've read it many times.
Yep. It's a good one. The key to that book is to get it ready for the next reading because you slide open the little deal to expose the red bird. And then before you turn the page, you got to close it because then the next night, if it's already open, the surprise is ruined. And my 2-year-old daughter really loves it when we reveal the animal. It's got to be closed ahead of time. Are you following me? Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah, I Jared's probably thinking, what are you talking about?
No, right I know now? What you're talking about.
Yeah. Good book. Good book. And then at the end, I see children looking at me. There's 9 of them. So we work on counting and we count them every night. She gets super excited for that. So for all you parents out there, you're welcome. We just went down Parent Road. Everyone's like, oh, man, I know that book.
It was shorter conversation than Seinfeld, so people appreciate you keeping it
Nobody turned it off. Yep. The single guys out there with no kids are like, what the hell is this?
We probably should talk a little Iowa State today, don't you think?
Yeah, sure.
Is there anything to talk about? Neil Berry got hired on as the assistant, which wasn't a surprise to anybody, but what do you think about that? Do you deal with Neil very often?
No, can't say I have.
Have you met Neil?
I have not.
You've not met Neil?
No.
Hell of a good guy.
I have not, no. I mean, I've seen him, but I've never been, like, formally introduced myself.
I got to give a quick shout-out. Aaron Marner, big follower of the Fawcast, is tweeting at us, wanting to know where the Fawcast is today. it would have been out a little earlier, but Charter's busy selling houses, so we had to postpone it. and then a dinner a little earlier, but Jared showed up about 35 minutes late to record this podcast.
Actually, I was on time for this podcast.
Oh, it was the other one.
Was the other one I was not here for, but I was playing basketball, so it was okay.
And you won at least.
I did. I won all three games.
Something you could not do against me is win all three games.
Well, yes, but it was okay. I got the crappy out of me today, though.
Giving a shout-out to Aaron Marner for he's sitting by his computer just waiting for this to be uploaded.
It'll be there soon, man.
Yeah. So, sorry, back to Neil Barry. I had a pleasure meeting him and talking to him a couple different times. One of the nicer guys you'll ever meet. Hopefully, in recruiting, it's all about relationships. Hopefully, he's a guy that can sit down with players and parents and be someone that you can trust, say, hey, come to Iowa State. I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. You know. So, I don't know much about him. He was an assistant at South Carolina, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me a little background.
He was the assistant at South Carolina. He was the lead recruiter on Anthony Gill.
Oh, really?
He played at Virginia.
Yeah.
Now.
Good player.
Yeah, there was another top 50 recruit that he got that here I can
pull it up
here real quick. Demontre Harris. He was the number 40 prospect in the country. So he helped with their number 10 ranking in the 2010 class.
That's exciting.
So he's a good recruiter.
Him and the assistants, they got a lot of pressure going on in this next class. Because we have, six, seven open scholarships currently?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to call it a make or break class, but it's pretty damn close. I mean, they got to get some players in that can play away.
Six.
So
make it or break, it's actually a little seven. Extreme.
I didn't factor
in. Well, we got to change that. Extreme, yes, but I think it's a huge class. I think it's a huge class.
For hoops, it is.
Did we ever talk about, by the way, I feel like we did, but maybe it was just via text, the Vegas line, the over-under for Iowa State. I'm curious in your guys' opinion on that because the line is set at 3.5 games for the win total this year, which seems low to me, especially consider a coach that supposedly has won everywhere he's gone.
Yeah.
You're going to beat UNI. I'm pretty confident on that one. You're going to beat Kansas. Pretty confident on that one.
More confident.
And is San Jose State? Does anybody know anything about them? Are they garbage?
They're in California.
Yeah, I do know that. But are they likely going to be garbage? They're coming here.
They'll obviously don't win that game.
Okay, so there's your three wins. So in order to cash that bet ticket, you need one more. Where is that win coming from? Where's the one that you guys look at and go, "That's the one. That's probably going to be the one."
I'd say Kansas State is a prime candidate.
Should have beat them the last 6 years. But
Texas, maybe, or no chance this year?
Texas is definitely a chance.
Yeah, there's a chance.
Texas Tech?
I could see that one.
Last year, San Jose State went 6-6. They went to a bowl game, lost to Georgia State.
There you go. Another homer for the Cubs, by the way. Rizzo, in case you're...
And then I could see...
Nobody cares.
If it came down to it at the end of the year, and they're 5-6... And they're playing West Virginia to go to a bowl game. That could be one they could win too.
Yeah, and by that point, though, betting tickets been long cash since you've got your four wins. It just seems like
can't cash till season's over.
Well, yeah, but a lot of people have said, talking bowl game for Iowa State, which I think is a little bit far fetched. But four wins doesn't seem far fetched to me. But it is Iowa State, so I don't know.
Well, let's be honest. At Iowa was a very winnable game. I don't care that they went 12-0. That's a game Iowa State should have probably won last year, didn't, and they always play them close, rivalry game, winnable game. Baylor at home. What's Baylor going to look like on October 1st? I mean, that's a team that people thought was a national championship contender.
Well, the way it sounds right now, it's not going to look that different. They're not going to let anybody leave.
See, I don't buy that. I think they will. I think they're waiting until Jim Grobe gets there, can talk to players, try to smooth things out. I think they're holding out for probably a couple more weeks. And then if players still want out, I bet anything they'll let him out because they can't handle any more bad publicity. They can't.
No. He was at what? His claim to fame was Wake Forest. Yeah. I don't recall Wake Forest football doing anything.
They went to the Orange Bowl 1 year.
Yeah. He would be kind of like a Mangino if Mangino would have kept coaching.
Defensive-minded coach
and was
or
like
offensive-minded?
Had high integrity.
And was nice. But I'm just saying. It's a shitty job and doing a good job.
It seems like they went after like the nicest coach in college football.
Yeah.
Like everything I read was awesome about this guy. But nothing about him said offensive juggernaut's going to stay at Baylor because this guy's coming.
Yeah, no, I don't think he runs.
He's a defensive guy.
The same.
So
offense.
Would you really change it? Because Baylor's become known for that. They're becoming a brand because of a style of football.
Well, Kendall Briles is still on the staff, which I think is remarkable. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that he knew or should be fired, but that's kind of crazy.
But does he deserve to be fired?
No.
I mean, he wasn't in charge.
He wasn't. I just think it's got to be awkward, doesn't it? I mean, it has to be awkward for him still to be around.
Yeah, but he's still got a long life ahead of him, and he wants to be coaching.
I'm not saying there's a right or wrong. I'm just saying it's awkward.
Yeah.
I bet you won't see a lot of juniors and seniors leaving that team because they've been there long enough, but I bet you see a lot of freshmen and sophomores that haven't played.
Did you see the kid that was supposed to be a signee that they didn't turn in his letter of intent? And so he was like the number 3 recruit in the class,
Oops.
Receiver in the class, and so he wasn't actually bound to Baylor. When he tried to get out of his letter of intent, they're like, yeah, you don't even have one.
There isn't one here.
Yeah, you're good. So he can go wherever he wants.
That's Cyclones?
You go to no, he's. It looked like Texas or TCU. He's from Texas.
We can work something out.
He had like 5,000 yeah. all-purpose yards.
How much are you going to take?
Yeah, a lot. Were you surprised at all? I wasn't. I addressed this, I think, last week when the news broke at Baylor. The SEC has come out and basically said, it sounds like this will happen, that they're going to ban schools from accepting players as transfers that have a violent past, basically, sexual or assault or whatever. I think we were talking about this last week. I said this would be a good thing for schools to do, and the SEC is jumping all over that. They're going to run with it. Is that a good thing to do? I mean, I personally think it is. I mean, if you...
So say that again. They're going to ban schools.
The teams in the SEC
yeah.
will not be able to accept transfers, or probably even freshmen, I would think, that have a certain type of criminal record in their past.
Yeah.
That included sexual assault, like personal assault, anything with violence. Mm-hmm. They're saying, I'm like, and the joke was, that's going to really kind of hurt their recruiting pool down there.
Yes, it is.
But that's kind of where we are as a society. You have to kind of set some of those lines.
I think absolutely is okay for sexual assault. Anything. Here, they got to be proven guilty. They can't have, you know, where charges were dropped because then he said,
but,
she said.
But I don't know. What was the case of the guy from Boise State to Baylor? I mean, was he found guilty in a court of law?
That's a good question.
I don't believe so.
I don't think he was. No. So now you're saying that guy is good to go.
Yeah, but see, that's what's tough, though, because I'm not – there are instances where somebody is innocent where they've been
– Correct.
And so that's tough. And you hate to see a young kid's life ruined over something along yeah. those lines. So I don't know. I would tend to agree with you. Yes, it's a good thing, but there's always that little gray area. And here, as far as assault goes, that's always tough too, because 18-year-old boys sometimes they're meatheads, right? They might go to a bar, get drunk for the first time or second. They don't know how to handle the liquor. They get in a fight.
Yeah.
Should they not be able to play football anymore? I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
you tell me. There's no right or that's what's so tough. Everybody likes to think it's black and white anymore, but it's not. There's still a lot of gray.
Personally, I don't have much of a problem with an assault. Like two dudes getting in a fight, they get arrested. That's a world different than a sexual assault.
I agree. Well, you just said physical assault. So
and I think they're including those types of things, but that's probably a little bit far-fetched. Like if it was with a male and you know the circumstances and it was just a fight, I mean,
you
have those in practice. I mean, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But anything, any type of violence against a female in any way, I think is something to rule somebody out, personally.
I agree. As long as you got to prove him guilty, though.
As long as she didn't deserve it, you know.
Oh, come on. You can't.
I think I'm on record as being pretty anti-rapey. I said that last week.
Yeah.
So I think people know where I'm coming from. It's all good. It's all good. I said last week, no rapey. It's bad.
It's very,
yeah. It's very bad.
What do you think of Briles' statement? Did you read it today?
I did not. No, I heard Ken Starr's statement or his interview, which was baloney.
Wow.
The whole thing.
That's a guy. See, Ken Starr seemed completely out of touch with reality.
Yeah.
Where I thought, did you read Briles, what Briles had to say today?
Mm-mm.
You guys need to pull it up. He actually sounded like he got it, and he more or less said, hey, I've tried to do the right thing. Looking back, I do a couple things differently, but I look forward to having a chance to say the story or hear everything that came out.
Yeah.
And a guy that cannot look good in the public right now, I thought he did as good of a job as coming
off.
Because he's not going to look good releasing a statement, but you can look worse. Ken Starr looks worse. I don't think Art Briles looked any worse.
The best possible thing you can do in a situation like that, and the situation he's in, is come out and say, I screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I didn't know, or it wasn't my deal, or that looks horrible. Come on and say, yeah, I could have done better, and I'll do better next time, or whatever. That's the best thing you can do.
Yep.
And
it's refreshing anymore to see somebody own up and take something, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like today when Jared was late, if Jared would have just came in here and said, hey, guys, I was dominating in basketball, I would have said, I would give him a high five and say, good job.
I told you that I won all three games.
I didn't know that was why you're late at first, though.
I told you that on the phone.
Oh,
I'm more curious about what type of job this young man has that allows him to be playing basketball in the middle of the day.
No, I got Jared's back on this one, all right?
Okay.
We got this app where we communicate. Yeah. These guys are working at like 10 o'clock at night when everyone else is asleep with their kids, writing stories, calling recruits. So if he wants to play basketball in the middle of the day,
he can do that.
He can play basketball in the middle of the day.
I see.
Right here, Jared. I got you.
Wow, that's the first time I think you've ever said something nice to my about me while I was here.
And it's actually recorded, so yes. We could go back and archive this.
Man, that's awesome.
Do you remember that one time in June where I said something nice about you? Like, let's go look it up. It's on the podcast.
You feel like I'm your dad and you're the son, and I finally said like a nice thing, and you kind of feeling a little teary-eyed right now? A little bit?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay.
It's ironic you said that since someone thought Jared was your son.
That's why, that's the reason I brought that up.
Yeah.
Which is remarkable. She was here, by the way.
You guys are both tall, so there you go.
And both handsome as hell.
There's that. Yeah, the son has become taller than the father.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
That happens usually.
Well, is there anything else to talk about?
You got more deals to be made.
That's what I do, man. I make deals.
What do you think, Jared? Anything else we got to hit on?
I got to miss game one tonight, and I'm really mad about it.
Where are you going?
I got to go. I'm going to call two baseball games up in Story City.
Oh, really?
Ames High, Rolling Story.
He's like the next Chris Williams, you know, like this jack of all trades, doing women's basketball and just kind of.
I'd like to do some women's basketball. Chris and I have had this conversation.
Have you ever called baseball before?
I have called baseball.
That's
a
very, very, very conversational type of broadcast. Because you got a lot of time to fill.
Yeah.
Who are you doing it with?
Dave Sproul.
Up at
KSI and Ames. Yeah. I actually got my start doing baseball.
So you color? Radio. You color commentary on that?
Yeah, I do a little play-by-play too.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Give me, here.
We're watching the Cubs right now. I want you to call this on the forecast. Right
I don't
now.
Know who any of these players are.
All right.
Do you know the world's
the pitcher. The pitcher's name is Smith.
Yeah, well, I have a roster in front of me.
And the catcher's name is Jenkins.
Coleman is currently pitching for the Dodgers. This is great radio right now, by the way.
Yeah, this absolutely.
I have stood up so Jared can see it.
Who is this?
That's Tommy LaStella.
Tommy LaStella? Okay.
Let's hear it.
LaStella, stop. Oh, man. I can't even do this right now, dude. This is not the time.
Put you on the spot. Come on.
No, it's not time for this.
Oh, this would have been classic.
See, I'm not even in the business. I can do it. LaStella steps into the box, batting 290 in this season. We got what's his name on the mound?
Set
to deliver. The pitch, it's over. The curveball over for a strike one.
That was a slider.
Beautiful.
It was a
slider. Beautiful day at Wrigley Field, right, sunshine? As Pat Hughes says on the radio all the time, he's like, he always, when Santo was around, he would joke with Santo. Like, he'd see a sailboat, like, way out in Lake Michigan. It's like, I see a few boats out there. It looks like the captain of that boat's reading War and Peace. Moron's like, you can't see that far. It's like, oh, yeah.
If you were actually calling you'd be like Musburger. You'd be like, oh, a lot of pretty ladies down there at third base.
Well, if you're in the mood for a vacation this summer, Chicago is not a bad spot to check out, according to the ladies in the crowd. A
lot of lovely ladies out there.
Yeah, I love Musburger. I love him for that, and I love him because he talks about gambling during the game.
Two of your favorite things, gambling and
winning. Oh, I love it. I love it, especially at the end of the game. Well, this one's kind of a blowout, and nobody cares, except a few people out there probably still have a rooting interest in this one. Yeah, he says that as you hear the crinkle of him checking his betting slip. It's like, what did I put my money on this one? I got to remember. I like it. That's become a part of our culture, though. You can't watch ESPN without them talking about lines.
I'm mad that I blew it now.
Well, it does help if you know the names of the players.
Yeah. And sometimes you blow
it. You just got to be in the mode,
you got to be able to rebound. I don't like how you
all
just
right,
quit.
I mean, I want another chance. I want the next batter.
The next batter.
Yeah.
We were supposed to end this podcast about 5 minutes ago.
It's two outs, by the way, so I don't think you're going to get an
extra. Oh, dang.
Batter.
All right. No second chance then. That's
next,
okay.
Next time.
If you want to hear me do some play-by-play, tune into 1430 KASI tonight.
Nice. Looking forward
to it. At least you got the call letters right. Good job.
All right.
Williams here next week? Or we hope? We don't know.
Well, who knows with Williams?
He's big time. So
He might come down with gonorrhea by then or something. What's a disease he hasn't had in a while?
A little syphilis in his life, you know? But if you ask him, he's one of the healthiest dudes he knows.
Oh, gosh.
Mr. Scarlet Fever. We miss you, buddy.
You think Kent Starr's out of touch with reality? Check Williams and his health.
That's probably a good one to end it on.
All right. Peace.
Thanks for listening.